recent survey by the Chief Census Office showed that New Zealanders are concerned about misinformation online. I spoke to Nicola Brown, Internet New Zealand's Senior Policy Advisor, about this research and how we can respond to misinformation, disinformation, and the harms it causes.
Internet NZ welcomes the commitment to researching misinformation. This is something that people talk about so flippantly. You'll hear terms like fake news, which personally makes me shudder. Mistruths, fake information, you can't trust anything online. All of this kind of actually gets us further away from talking about the real challenges we have around the way that New Zealanders are actually susceptible, or at least believe they're susceptible, to these misinformed narratives about some of the biggest issues that we face as a society today.
Yes, and roughly half of people in New Zealand, the report revealed, have at least one belief based on misinformation. Is this result surprising to you?
So, I want to take that statement with a grain of salt. The survey asked people about specific narratives. I'm really wary about repeating some of them because one of the things we do know about misinformation is that when you hear it over and over again, you start to believe it anyway. But it was related to things like the legitimacy of the US election, the legitimacy of government messaging on COVID-19, and people asked, on a spectrum how they felt about them. And it showed that more than half of those surveyed resonated with one of those misinformed narratives. If I'm honest, I would say, it's more like 100% of us hold some views that are misinformed, because that's how communication works. I'm probably stopped by something I read online at least once a day that I have to ask myself, this feels true, but it would be really irresponsible of me to share it any further. Are all New Zealanders doing that?
And in the report, it talked about how many people spoke that they felt there was more misinformation, particularly political misinformation, in the US than in New Zealand. Do you think this is also a case of people not realising the amount of misinformation they might be consuming?
Yeah, and this is the tricky thing about research, is especially when you're surveying someone, you're asking them what they think they know, and that's always going to be trouble. The reality is that we have no idea what the scale of misinformation is, but also we are challenging whether that's the most useful thing to understand. I think the biggest thing that Internet NZ would like to see is the government investment in building New Zealand's resilience to misinformation and, more importantly, disinformation.
And speaking of this, how can people go about improving their media literacy and being more aware of the misinformation they might come across?
So I actually have to say that this is not an individual problem. You cannot guard yourself against misinformation, and I won't tell you how to do it in case I go and send you off on the wrong track. We've heard issues with Ashley Bloomfield told everyone to go and do their own research on vaccinations the other day in a press release, in a press conference, and I would say that's probably not a good message, because if you Google a lot of phrases related to COVID and vaccinations, you're going to be led down a disinformation rabbit hole and you're not going to realise. What we need to see is actually a systemic approach to understanding the harms that are being caused by mis and disinformation online.
And what are some examples? Are you able to provide some examples specifically around COVID that we've seen harm be created by disinformation in Aotearoa?
It's too early to be able to say that with any confidence, but one of the things we did see, and it was actually a really great response by the Electoral Commission, was actually after the American elections, when the electronic voting conspiracy theories were spreading around, people believing that satellites run by Italians are changing votes in election systems. Please don't go and do your own research about that. We saw one of the named companies in America that was part of the conspiracy was Catalyst, which unfortunately shares its name with an awesome tech company in New Zealand. So some New Zealanders picked that up it started hammering the idea that this New Zealand tech company was part of the conspiracy theory. And we watched the Electoral Commission's social media manager, whoever they are, work tirelessly to make sure that there was not a single instance of that conspiracy theory on a public-facing social media that wasn't replied to correct the facts in New Zealand. But that takes a lot of work, and that's not a scalable solution. What we'd rather see is the government understanding that there needs to be a coordinated and resourced approach to the way the government understands and responds to online communication. I say responds and understands because there's no solution that can be led by government asserting some kind of universal truth, because you've already lost your audience. And we don't want to live in a country where the only place that we can get accurate information is the government. But what they can do is they can fund more research like this, and they can fund communities to respond to the harms that misinformation can cause. It's okay if there is misinformation about COVID-19, if every New Zealander is taking the right measures to keep themselves and their communities safe. If everyone's getting vaccinated, if everyone's social distancing when they need to and wearing masks when they need to, if they are holding or being susceptible to doubt in the truth, that matters a lot less.
Mm. And Internet New Zealand has called for the government to consider naming a minister who's responsible for these sorts of things. What would you recommend that minister's role be?
Oh, that is too tempting of an opportunity. There are lenses here. So I think one of the lenses is actually social cohesion. So last week the government released its discussion paper on incitement to hate and normalising of hatred against protected groups. And they also released a discussion paper on social cohesion. Those bits of work are separate, but they have to be understood together. And misinformation is going to be a huge part of that. You also have things like the government is about to undertake a media review where it looks at all of the regulatory settings for our publications in New Zealand. That includes film, that includes media, this conversation. And for the first time, they're considering whether that might also include social media and online communications between people. It's a huge question, but they all have to be connected if we're going to actually achieve our goals of building a more cohesive society. I think if I can leave people with one thing, what I say is, when you hear the phrase misinformation, just ask a second question. I think a lot of us are talking past each other right now, and if we don't already agree at the starting point, we're not going to be able to move forward together. I'd really like the government to be understanding disinformation and equipping communities with the tools they need to understand that a lot of misinformation online is being seeded and planted for a reason. Misinformation is usually sitting right next to something else. It's an agenda of hate or an agenda of disruption. And we should understand that misinformation didn't come from nowhere. It's there to cause us harm.
The Wire.